Today is November 30, 2025. This is the First Baptist Church of Troy, New Hampshire. I'm Pastor Don Williams. We're bringing you this produced message on the first Advent of Christmas through the Bible Labs Ministries Recording Studio. We thank you for joining us and listening to this. We previously have been looking at specific prophecies. We will pick that up again at the beginning of the new year. Last week, we looked at Thanksgiving, as it was our Thanksgiving service. And today, we begin with the Christmas Advent, and the first one is hope. As we will be continuing, we will look at peace, joy, love, and then, of course, on Christmas Eve, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, we look at the subject of hope. And let me just say up front, this is by no means rocket science. We have looked at this subject multiple times in different messages. We have certainly gone through the Christmas Advent many times. And so I would doubt if there's anything out of the ordinary here. Just keep in mind that every time we look at the Word of God, sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us uniquely so that it is a new and fresh thought. And I'm trusting and praying that that's exactly what this series of the Advent topics is going to do. Before we get into this, let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, I thank you for what we celebrate at Christmas. I thank you that you did in your sovereign plan to redeem us from our hopelessness in sin by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. He came to take on our sin, pay for it in full through his death and shed blood, but it was sealed and proven in his resurrection. That's where it was established that God the Father was satisfied with that payment. So we have a lot to be thankful for today. And because of this fact, it gives us a real hope, not a superficial, fickle hope that the world would try to conjure up. We thank you that in Christ and through the power of his scripture, we can have a genuine hope. So speak to each and every one that hears this message, wherever they're at on their spiritual journey. May it bring them to coming to full faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. I want to begin today by just simply defining the word hope. And I'm going to start with a biblical worldview definition. To be very honest and straight up with you, this definition in its basic form comes from the Holman Bible Dictionary. But as I checked a number of resources, this one seemed to provide the most specific and clear definition for the Christian with the biblical worldview that I found. And here it is, and I basically quote here, "It's trustful expectation, particularly with reference to the fulfillment of God's promises. Biblical hope is the anticipation of a favorable outcome under God's guidance. More specifically, hope is the confidence that what God has done for us in the past guarantees our participation in what God will do in the future." As I gave you that definition, do you not see how quickly it must connect to God, and it presumes his power and sovereignty, but it involves his promise promises and the fact that he cannot lie and is true to his word. And of course, it has to come back to biblical hope because the Bible, the scriptures, are the only source of truth that we have to find the facts out pertaining to God. I found also interesting the fact that our hope and our belief and confidence in our hope continues as we see God faithfully perform, and as we look at the past and see where he has faithfully been true to his word, then we can continue to have a very solid, realistic outlook to the future. But right now, I want to go back and look at this subject of hope from the secular worldview. You're going to see a stark difference here, and I think you're going to get a feeling or indication of taking a leap in the dark or basically total despair. I thought the smart thing to do would be to go first to Webster's Dictionary. I did, and I found it very clear and simply stated, and this is what it says, and I quote, "To desire with expectation of fulfillment." Now, think about that. We all have desires, but how much solid expectation do we have that those desires are going to be fulfilled? If it's something within our range of doing, we probably can get that confidence. But if we're talking about something out of our control, is not this just a leap into the dark? It was further defined as a little more simple here, a feeling that what is wanted is going to happen. And I would ask you, on what basis? You see, you have a baseless optimism, or as definition further went, a vague yearning after an unattainable good. A lot of this outcome is going to depend upon your personality and your experience. Some are perpetual optimists, some are perpetual pessimists, some always see the glass half empty, others see the glass half full, but there's absolutely no substance or basis other than chance. If hope is to be a genuine hope, it's got to be founded on something or someone which affords reasonable grounds for confidence in its fulfillment. Again, I'm further expanding this from Holman's Bible Dictionary. You check that out, you will find this material there. The Bible bases its hope in God and in his saving acts. Now, right off the top here, we need to see that. In essence, the atheist, the one that says there is no God, can have no reason for hope other than within himself or herself. And that can only expand to where their limitations end. I want to give you four facts regarding hope, and we will tie scripture with these. Number one, hope operates on faith. Now, as I said, we can have blind faith. We can take a leap of faith into darkness on no foundation or footing whatsoever. But the faith I am talking about, its foundation is God. And more than in just a vague form of God, I am speaking of the triune Godhead, where all three persons of the Trinity have an active part in our hope. And along with this, as we've already indicated, is scripture. Hope operates on faith. Faith in God and faith in his revealed, absolutely truthful word, the scripture. We begin with Hebrews 11 and verse 1. And here you'll find a definition not really of hope, but of faith. We read here, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidences," if I may take liberty with that, that, the evidences of things that are not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. Now we can hope and we can desire and we can long for and we can want all kinds of things, but will they be fulfilled? Well, from the biblical point of view, a biblical faith is just that. It's the substance of that which you long for, which you hope for. But there is an evidence there that is not seen. I'm speaking of the foundation. And that would go back to what I was just saying. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and His Scripture, which He authored, wrote, and it is completely, inerrantly, absolutely true. We're looking at hope operates on faith, our first fact. I'll take you to another reference, and that is in Romans 8. Now, Romans 8 is quite a chapter. You've memorized, you've heard messages on it. There's a verse that is often quoted, but basically, if you were going to sum up chapter 8 of Romans in just a few words, you would say that it speaks of freedom from condemnation if you are in Jesus Christ and living according to the Holy Spirit all by faith. You know that verse. We know all things work together for good. Them that are of God and called according to His purpose. I've paraphrased that. But this whole chapter deals with hope operating on faith. But I want to take you specifically to verses 24 and 25. This is of Romans chapter 8. And you're going to see something that when I first read this, it always raises a flag. Then I have to give myself a lecture and say, put that flag down quickly. This is scripture. Who are you to question it? It says, we are saved by hope. I'll stop right there. Because the theologian inside of me wants to say, no, 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 no. We are saved by grace through faith. But when you take this apart and you look at it in its context, that is exactly what Paul, writing through the Holy Spirit, is saying. So let's read on and consider this hope that he says we're saved by. It's interesting, his argument here. Hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now again, that's not rocket science. That's very, very basic, simple. If I go to the mailbox, and we don't do it this way anymore, this is just by way of an illustration, but say I am waiting for a Social Security check or whatever, monthly pension check that may be coming, and I am hoping and hoping and hoping that it is there in the mail. Just as soon as I open the mailbox and I see that very familiar mark envelope, very unique, I'm no longer hoping. It is as good as done. And at that point, I can't wait to get my hands on it, get it opened up, get it signed, get it deposited. That's the short and simple of what Paul is saying here in verse 8. But let's take this up a notch to our salvation. Yes, we are saved by grace because of the mercies of the Lord through faith. But he's emphasizing the hope there. You see, folks, things have not totally been completed in one sense in our salvation. I'm still a sinner. I can still slip and fall and sin. I have not been removed from the presence of sin, and I have not been removed from the evil effects of sin in this world. I have not been taken to my ultimate final home in the new heaven and the new earth that Jesus says he is preparing for us. So there's a lot of room for hope. because there is a lot to do with my salvation that has not been played out yet. Remember, there's a past, a present, and a future part of salvation. In the past, my sins in full were placed upon Jesus Christ, and he paid that by dying and shedding his blood. Over 2,000 years ago, he cried out, paid in full. That's the past. The present, by faith, believing, I am God's child. The Holy Spirit dwells within me, and I am saved presently from the penalty of sin. But the future aspect, one day I will be saved not only from the penalty, but the presence and the effects of sin. Nigeria, believers are dying by the thousands, saved, their sins forgiven, assured of a home in heaven, but not saved from the effects of evil and sin in this world. He said, if we hope for what we see not, then we have a patience that we wait for it. This all in its context, of course, in Romans chapter 8. But what I want you to see here, just simply, hope operates on faith. Number two, hope is promoted and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. I've hinted that the Holy Spirit has an active part in hope. Here it is. Turn to Romans 15, verse 13. And he says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow, if you ever wanted a verse to tie all of the Advent calendar together, or wreath, or candles, you've got it right there. Joy, peace, and hope. The only one missing is love, and that's certainly implied there. But let's get back on point. Hope is promoted and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's saying. God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. There's your faith. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real. He deals with real substances. And when he is active in your heart and life, you can mark it down. It's real. It's not a blind leap of faith into a darkness where you hope you land on your feet. Back to Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit, I prefer to say himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All believers that have come to faith in Jesus Christ, I believe, experience this to some degree or another, some a lot more, depending upon the gift of faith that you may have. But when you truly trust Christ and you put your faith and belief, there is a transformation, there's a change. I don't care who you are, how bad you have been, or how good you have been, there should be that inner testimony of the Holy Spirit interacting with our personal individual spirit. Remember, we're body, soul, spirit. Body, the obvious physical. Soul, we talked about last week. Our will, our intellect, and our emotions or feeling. The spirit is the part that connects with God, and so it does here through his Holy Spirit. Number three, hope is anchored in Jesus Christ. And I take you to 1 Peter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. We read, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten, that's our new birth, us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Notice this is all the future aspect of our salvation. And therefore, we need that word hope. And I love verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. No, it's not a blind leap in the dark of some undefinable mystic hope. It is a reality. These realities are through what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. New birth, the resurrection establishes, fortifies our hope, and we can look forward to an inheritance that does not corrupt, wear out, get spent, that is not defiled, and it does not fade away with time, and it's reserved and kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Power. Number four, hope is promised in Scripture. Now, you've got to have something here that prefaces this, and that would be that you fully believe the Word of God is God's truthful revelation, absolute truth, and inerrant. Let's go to the Old Testament for a little here. Psalm 119 and verse 114. The psalmist says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield." This is God he's referring to. "I hope in thy word." Had he seen God? No. But he had the Scriptures, and his hope to the fact that God was his hiding place and shield, anchored in the truth of the Scripture. Another psalm, Psalm 33, verses 18 to 22. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." Again, you can go to God's faithfulness of protection in the past, and that should stimulate or fortify your hope for him to continue. We trust by faith. And he said, "Let thy mercy be upon us according as we hope." Not according to our merit, but according to our hope, our trust in him. That's an Old Testament psalm. Another Old Testament passage is Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentation written by Jeremiah after Nebuchadnezzar had totally rooted Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, burned it, and everything was a big despairing mess. If anyone had reason to lack hope, it would have been Jeremiah, but this is what he says. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Here's what it is. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. You say, but he's been looking at a total destruction all around him. No, not total destruction. They're still alive, and they do have a promise that they will be brought back. But he's talking about God's compassions not failing. New every single morning. "Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." Hey, if Jeremiah could hope at that point in time, I don't care how bad it gets. We have the same foundation, actually more, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercies new every morning. Compassion never stopping. Faithful, continuing without end. Therefore, we can hope in him. One more verse, Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. they shall walk and not faint, waiting upon the Lord. That would entail hope. The promise that strength is renewed. You've got two aspects here. And it comes back to one of our favorite illustrations, the eagle. Mount up with the power of the wings of the eagle, running and not be weary, walking and not faint. Why is it in that order? The powerful wings of the eagle, then running, and then walking? Almost like it's descending. Well, one point here. Just stop and consider. When you get a burst of enthusiasm and you go forth running, that carries you for a while. But the day by day by day by day walk, that's the place that we can start to doubt and faint. What's the key here? Faithfully waiting upon the Lord. We're going to see this in just a minute in our So What. No direct scripture, but I'd ask you before I go into my So What, I have one verse. But before I do that, to remember all of the prophecy the past few weeks that we have looked at that deal with the ultimate end, that deal with a secure eternity, removed from the very presence of sin. We've looked at them over and over, and if we believe in the Word of God, that should give us a solid foundation to our hope. What have we been saying in every message for the last few messages, including Thanksgiving? God is still in control. You see the proof of the past. You look and you can see the proof of the present. Well, so what? I take you to Romans 5. Begin with verse 3 and look at 4 and 5. And this is one of those verses that's probably not our favorite. He says, not only so, we glory in tribulations. To that you say, what? We're supposed to be having a message of hope here. Hang on. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. How many times have I told you, be careful when you pray for patience. The formula for patience is tribulation. But follow it through here. Tribulation brings patience. Patience brings experience. Oh, how valuable experience is. That's why those that are seniors in our faith should be being great examples to those that are young in their faith. Because that experience brings our word for the day, hope. And he goes on to say, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Love of God comes through Christ on the cross, the Holy Spirit. All of these through which make hope real and solid, and you don't have to be ashamed in the end that your hope was in vain. But what was the formula here? Began with tribulation. That worked patience. Patience brought on experience. Experience brings hope, and hope everlasting. Father, I thank you for the gift of hope, and I thank you that it's not as the world giveth. It's a superficial desire where we would be trusting in chance or in smaller levels ourselves. But we have a relationship, a friendship. We are a child of the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. So what better solid rock can we stand on in hope other than the rock that is Jesus Christ? We thank you. We thank you for Him. And I pray that you impress this message into the heart of everyone that hears it. If they do not know Jesus as Savior, may today be the day they put their trusting faith and belief in Him. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.